Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. And Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
I have a message today called When Your Calling Becomes Common. When Your Calling Becomes Common. So, before I start, I just want to explain, because there's basically three stages in Scripture for not just a believer, but to be in, you know. One of them is Kadosh. I think we all know what that means. Set apart to Yahweh, right? One is unclean, and that could be physically unclean, like unclean food, or it could be spiritually unclean from a covetous spirit, you know, from a spirit of anger, whatever it is, any type of violation of the word of Yahweh. But most people don't understand that there is actually a third state in Scripture, which is called common. And common basically means used by everybody. But in Scripture, it's also rejected by Yahweh for His people. So common is something that is used by all. It's not biblically unclean, but it's also not set apart to Yahweh. So maybe to give you a little bit of example, let's say oil, right? That olive oil is kadosh. When we're making oil for anointing, we use, you know, extra virgin olive oil, and it is kadosh. Lard is unclean. Lard is pork. You know, you wouldn't use lard under any circumstances. And something like sunflower oil is common. You use it for almost everything. So again, common is not unclean, but it's just used by all. It's nothing special about it when it's common. If we start in Acts 10, verse 9, Acts 10 and verse 9, and this is when the Apostle Peter, right, is being shown by Yahweh that he's opening up salvation to Gentiles, and Cornelius, who's a centurion, a Roman centurion, he's going to be the first Gentile that's going to come in. And this is what's happening here, and I'll pick up the story in verse 9. And the next day, as they passed along on the road, and drawing near to the city, Simon Peter went up on the roof to pray about the sixth hour. And he hungered and desired to eat. And while they prepared for him, a stupor fell over him, almost like into a trance, like a dream state. And he saw the heaven being opened and a certain vessel, like a great sheet, coming down, being bound by four corners and let down onto the earth, in which were all the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the heaven. And a voice came to him saying, Peter, rise up, slay and eat. And Peter said, Elohim forbid, my master, because I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice came to him a second time saying, what things Elohim made clean, do not make common. And most of the time, this is what Christians will go to this scripture to say that, you know, you could eat pork and you could eat this. But actually, this proves the opposite. Number one, this is written, you know, maybe about 15 years after the New Testament started, right? So already, the New Testament is there 15 years, and Peter is saying, I've never eaten this from the day I was born. So was Peter eating pork? Of course he wasn't eating pork. The other thing is, on the sheet, as well as, you know, pig and whatnot, was also chicken and beef and lamb and everything else. So he never said, eat the unclean. He just said, get up and eat. And what did Peter say? He said, Master, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Because according to Jewish law, you don't find this in the Bible, but it is Jewish law, that if something was unclean on the same table with something clean, then the thing that was clean becomes unclean. And it's like if you go to a buffet, right? And there it is, there's 50 things out on the buffet. And maybe one has pork, but the rest is chicken and vegetables or whatever. It couldn't mean you couldn't eat anything, but you couldn't eat something common. And for some of you that know our good friend Yossi, who used to come here with me, very good archaeologist from Israel, when he used to come with me on these trips, and you see we go to these hotels and the food they give and how wonderful it is, and there's no pork. Muslims do not eat pork. Yossi would not eat any food here in Jordan. He'd bring little cans of tuna fish. That's what he would eat. Because he's religious Jew, and the food here, to him, is common. That's the law of the rabbis. So this is the law of the day of Peter. It's the law that they still keep today, but it's not the biblical law. You know, it's not the biblical law. It is that law. So that's why Peter is saying, you know, he's never eaten anything unclean or common, right? So never here was he ever told to eat pork. And it proves the opposite, that here it is years and years after the resurrection, and he still didn't eat pork. So it actually proves the opposite here. But like I said, there's clean food as well as unclean. But that which is common is also not set apart to Yahweh. It's just used by everybody. All were on the same sheet. Peter understood the clean food to now be common. The lesson Yahweh's trying to teach, of course, really had nothing to do with food. He only used food as an analogy, is to not call a non-Israelite Gentile who became a believer common. So this is the problem in the first century. And like I said, for most people today in Western society that are so far removed from the culture in Israel, and they never even think to themselves, for the first 15 years of the New Testament, there were only Jews and maybe some Israelites that were part of the congregation. But there was nobody that was non-Israelite in the congregation. So when Israelites started joining the congregation, there was a problem. Because the Jews, according to Jewish ritual law, could not even sit in the same room with a Gentile. A matter of fact, in the first century, if Gentiles pressed olive oil, a Jew would not even use that olive oil. So that's why it's ridiculous to think, like in the book of Mark, where Yeshua is using people not washing their hands, right? That in a ceremonial sense, and they're saying that Yeshua said all food is being able to eat in, and the rabbis don't even question him. Because this is the divide you have in the first century. Like I said, a Jew would not even sit in the same room. So what do you do? Where do you go from that point? Where Yahweh, for the first time now in 1,500 years, he's allowing Gentiles, and it's going to be big from all over the world, to come into the congregation, and Jewish people would not even sit in the room. So this is why he's got to show Peter in a way, a visual way to him, and he used this analogy here, right? And it's very clear what he says. Do not call a non-Israelite Gentile who becomes a believer common. The common law is not to take something that is kadosh. The common law is to not take something that is kadosh and make it common. So, in a way, the law is a biblical law, because in the biblical law, we don't want to take things that are kadosh to Yahweh and make them common. And I'm going to get into that today. But with people, it's not like that. Just like if every day was the Sabbath, then the Sabbath would be common. That's why the Sabbath has to only be one day. If 7 days was the Sabbath, then it's not kadosh. It's not set apart. It's equal. And that's why I say, you know, sometimes in the world we're living in today, people overplay their hands. And many times, you know, you'll hear like Jewish politicians or something, they'll keep relating things to the Holocaust. This is like the Holocaust. He's like Hitler. He's like Hitler. And I say, if everybody's like Hitler, then there is no Hitler, because Hitler becomes common. And you got to watch yourself when you're making these analogies, because there's only one Hitler, and he was evil and bad, and we want him to stay separate so that we don't think that that things that he's doing is common. But if every situation that's coming up, you're saying they're like Hitler, then you basically make Hitler common. It's not something that's evil anymore. It's something that becomes common. So like I said, with the Sabbath, if every day was the Sabbath, you know, then the Sabbath would be common. So let's continue here. Verse 25, same chapter. And as Peter was coming in, meeting him, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped. But Peter lifted himself up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And talking with him, he went and found many having come together. And he said, "You know it is not lawful for a Yehudian, a Jewish man, to associate or come near a foreign man who is not a son of his tribe. But Elohim showed me concerning a man not to say that he is common or unclean." Because sometimes it even got worse. They weren't just saying Gentiles were common. They were saying it was unclean. They were saying they're, you know, literally, like went over in the other message, a dog. You know, a dog was compared to a Gentile. That was what they looked at. So this is what he's saying. Do not say concerning a believer, doesn't matter what country he's born in, that he is common or unclean. Common or unclean. Drop down to verse 44. And this is where Peter, again, he's telling the story again. He says, as Simon was yet speaking these words, the Ruach HaKodesh rested on all those hearing the word, and the brothers, those circumcised who came with him, right? Israelites, Jews mostly, were amazed and astonished that the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh was even poured upon Gentiles. Never happened before. This is the first time this is happening, so they don't understand it. For they heard them speaking in different languages and magnifying Yahweh. Then Simon answered, can anyone forbid the water that these not be baptized, who the Ruach HaKodesh received, even as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Master Yeshua the Messiah, and then they asked him to remain some days. And like I said, just like what I was saying in what we were talking about at the beginning with pork, if you really analyze, almost every scripture somebody uses to be against a scripture actually proves it. Like people show me this and say, see, you don't only have to receive the Holy Spirit through baptism. Look at these people. They received it without baptism. And I say, yes, they received it without baptism. And then what does Peter say? Can we forbid them water now that they received the Spirit? So baptism, the water, is just a ritual. You don't need the water. That's your part to Yahweh. You need the laying on of hands. And here it was, even after they got the laying on of hands, he still had them go in water baptism. So it's not disproving it. It's actually proving it. You know, that baptism and laying on of hands is the ritual that happens there. Why did, in this case, Yahweh have to do the giving of the Spirit first? Because they wouldn't have baptized them. We already see it. They looked at Gentiles as outside. So they would have never baptized them. So Yahweh gives them the Spirit, so they're going to also put them in the water because it goes together. The, like I say, covenant relationship. Both parties have something to do. Your part is, you know, going a spiritual death in that water. And that's why we got to put you all the way underneath, you know. Of course, we let you come up. But the other part is the laying on of hands where Yahweh gives his Spirit. So that's what we see here. That he's saying, can they forbid water? And again, if you don't understand the cultural relevance of these things, you know, the Western church today, beside having paganism of Christmas and all that stuff, they don't understand, you know, all of us, we come from a Hebrew congregation. That's why this is the Hebrew Roots Bible. And that's why I thank Yahweh and praise Him with all my heart. That's why He put me in Israel for 20 years to restore the first century congregation, to restore the culture. Because we need to understand, if we're going home, we're not going home as Americans and Kenyans and Filipinos. We're going home as Israelites. And we got to get that culture back in our life. We got to get it in our mind. We have to understand where we're coming from if we're going to understand where we're going to. So, Galatians 3 also proves this point. Galatians 3 and verse 26. He says, for you are all sons of Yahweh through faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many as were baptized into Messiah, you put on Messiah. There cannot be Jew or Aramean. There cannot be slave nor free man. There is no male nor female. For you are all Ikad, united in Messiah Yeshua, right? So, wow, this is a big step here, right? Now, we read that today and we just understand there's equality in the congregation. Yes, it means that. But you don't understand culturally how different this was. Because until this, women were considered a possession of the father and a possession of the husband. And that's why women would never have been baptized because the husband is baptized. And that's why when the marriage ceremony, even today in Jewish ceremony, what happens? They're married underneath the chuppah, right? Where the tzitzit on there is showing the authority of the man over the woman. Because that's the thing. But what he's saying here is, yes, there's still judicial order. There's no doubt about that. There's still, in the marriage relationship, the man is still over the woman, as Messiah is over the congregation. It says it. But what it's saying here is, when it comes to the new covenant, it's not a family thing anymore. It's not like the first covenant, where he made a contract with Abraham, and that made Abraham's son, and his son, and the grandson. It's here where each individual has to make that relationship with Yahweh. So that's what he's saying. By a husband getting baptized, that doesn't mean his wife is automatically in the congregation. It doesn't matter whether you're Gentile, whether you're free, whether you're bond, or male or woman. Everybody has to make that commitment on their own. And that's a big difference. It's a big cultural difference in the new covenant. Let's go back to Acts 11 and verse 9. And this is where Peter now, he's telling the story as he goes back and he's sharing with the other brethren about it. And 11:9 says, "But a voice answered me the second time out of heaven, 'What Yahweh has cleansed, do not make common.'" That is going to mean a lot as we get into this message. What Yahweh has cleansed, do not make common. Now, first of all, it's people. We don't have any racism in the congregation. Racism, to me, is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And if you start racism, there's no end to it. Because it may start with black and white and male and female, but it can go to bald and hair. It can go to glasses and no glasses. Like, once you start down that road, what's good and what's bad? If we're judging people by a physical look, right? And it's the most ridiculous thing in the world because we all look different. So what's the difference? How we look? You know, we're going to judge somebody by the way they look. If they have a beard, if they don't have a beard, you know, it makes no sense whatsoever. But this is what he's saying. What Yahweh has cleansed, do not make common. Remember that scripture. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Malachi 3 verse 8. "Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed him. But you say, 'And what have we robbed you?' How are we robbing you?" Right? And tithes and offerings. The tithe is kadosh. It's not common. Right? All the rest of your money is common. The money you make, the money you trade, the money you're given, the money you find, everything. It's all common. The tithe is not common. The tithe is kadosh. The tithe is set apart to Yahweh. And like I tell people, you know, some people keep their tithe. They save it up to bring it up at feast time. That's fine. Some people give it once a month at the local congregation. That's fine. You know, whatever you work out, that's good. But one thing, remember, until you take that money and separate it, none of that is yours. The earth is Yahweh's, the fullness thereof, the people and those who live in it, Psalm 24, everything is Yahweh's. So if you make $100, until you take that 10 and separate it, none of that is yours. The tithe is kadosh. And until you do that, all the money is common. It's all common. Which means there's no blessing on it. So you've got to at least separate it. You know, separate it, put it in an envelope, do whatever you want to do with it, but make sure you separate it. And worse than that, there's people that are not tithing. There's people that are stealing from Yahweh, and that's what he says. What are you talking about? He says, "In tithes and offering, you're stealing from me." Remember what we said? You make yourself an enemy to Yahweh? You can't make yourself a greater enemy to Yahweh than stealing from him. And these are laws of nature. This is laws of gravity. You know, and I remember years ago, there was a congregation in the third world, that was a fairly good-sized congregation, and they were just poor, 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 poor. And I found out at least half the people weren't tithing in that congregation. And I told them, they said, "We can't afford to tithe." I said, "You can't afford not to tithe. You're never going to change." And do you know they started tithing? And do you know within 1 year, that congregation in one of the poorest places in the world, not only did they come self-sufficient, they bought a building, they were giving money out, they couldn't believe how much their financial situation changed when they stopped stealing from Yahweh. Now remember the tithe is not just on money. The tithe is on everything, which means 24 hours in a day, 2.4 hours belong to Yahweh. And until you give Yahweh his time, you're making all the time common. You're making it common. So that's something that is kadosh. 2.4 hours a day. It's required. It's an obligation. It's part of the tithe. And if you don't give that to Yahweh, none of that day is yours. You're making all of it common. Just like I said, the Sabbath. Why isn't every day the Sabbath? It's the greatest day of the week because it would be common. It wouldn't be kadosh if every day. So we want to make sure that we are not robbing Yahweh with our tithe. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 6. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 6 says, "And the sons of Israel and Judah, those living in the cities of Judah, also they tithed of the herd and the flock, even a tithe of the kadosh things that were sanctified to Yahweh, their Elohim, were brought in, and they gave heaps of heaps." The tithe is kadosh. The tithe is separated to Yahweh. Leviticus 23. We'll see how serious this is, not just with the tithe, but anything that's kadosh to Yahweh. that if you make it common, wow, you're in trouble. Leviticus 23 and verse 27. Leviticus 23 and verse 27. And this is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. He says, also on the 10th of the 7th month shall be a Day of Atonement. There shall be a holy gathering, and you shall humble and weaken your bodies, and shall bring a fire offering to Yahweh, right? The baptism of fire. So we just had this, praise Yahweh, about a week ago. And you shall do no work in the same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, a Day of at-one-ment, being at one with Yahweh, to atone for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For any person who is not humbled in the same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work in the same day, I shall even cut off that person from the midst of his people. You shall do no work. Remember the sermon, what don't you understand about no? Here's one of them. You shall do no work. It is a never-ending statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It is a Shabbat of rest to you, and you shall humble your souls in the ninth of the month at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath, right? Some people say now it starts at sunrise. They don't want to follow Scripture. But very clearly here, you are not to do any work. It's a fasting day. It is Kadosh. It's set apart to Yahweh. So the work you do every day, nothing wrong with cutting the grass, washing the dishes, cleaning the clothes, but that's common. That's common work. It's everyday work. You don't do it on something that's kadosh. Because you know what happens? When you wash a dish on Shabbat, you're making Shabbat common. You're taking something that's set apart, and you're making it like everything else. And what does Yahweh say? When you take something that's set apart to Him and make it common, look out. Look out. He's becoming your enemy. And even His name, right? That's why the name is so important. Because titles, right? Elohim, Adonai, they're fine to relate to our Heavenly Father as that, but that is not His name. His name is set apart. His name is not G-O-D. And even if they think that G-O-D is not the name of a pagan deity, which it is, a lot of people don't know that, it's still common. G-O-D is still common. It's certainly not the name of Yahweh. So it's not something we would call Yahweh by. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're taking His name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and you're making it like anything else. We separate His name. And you know how else you make His name common? By using it every other second. Sometimes, you know, when I'm with some people, you know, that it's like every other word out of their mouth is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That is not a word we should be using every second or third word out of our mouth, because we're making it common. We're making it just like any other word. And the Jews understood this, our brother Judah, to the point where they stopped saying it completely. They did the opposite, you know. They actually stopped using it completely and broke the commandment by doing that. They brought it to nothing. Never mind making it common, they made it nothingness because they don't even use it. And they lost even the pronunciation of it because of that. So we want to make sure things that are kadosh to Yahweh, we're keeping kadosh. We're keeping it separated. His name, well, not. John 14 and verse 12. So now we're going to start looking at what are some of the things that are kadosh to Yahweh? And like I said, are we keeping it kadosh or are we making it common? John 14, verse 12 through 17. He says, indeed, I tell you truly, the one believing into me, the works which I do, that one will do also, and greater than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Praise Him. Here we are 2,000 years later. Look at the work He's doing worldwide because of that. And whatever you may ask in my name, right? This I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will petition the Father, and He will give you another one which will end the curse, that it may remain with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, right? The Ruach HaKodesh. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see it nor know it, because it's kadosh. But you know it, for it dwells with you, and it shall be in you. So here it is, Yahweh's Holy Spirit, His Ruach HaKodesh, is set apart to Him. It's what sets us apart to Him, I'm sorry. So we are not common. That is the thing that makes us not common. Without the Ruach HaKodesh, you're common. You're like anybody else. But the reason why you're one out of 5 or 10 million people out there is because you have the Ruach HaKodesh living in you. So that's the thing that sets us apart from being common, right? Romans 9 in verse 6. Romans 9 and verse 6, he says, not, however, that the word of Elohim has actually failed, for all those who belong to Israel are not Israelites. And this is something, think about it, culturally in that day, you can understand why they wanted to kill Paul. Not only is he accepting the fact that non-Israelites, Gentiles, are being allowed into the covenant, he's actually saying a lot of those Jews aren't even in covenant relationship. That Yahweh's covenant is no longer by your nationality, right? But it's by the Ruach HaKodesh. He says, nor because they're Abraham's seed or their children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called, right? Was all Abraham's children Kadosh? No, it was the promised seed, only in Isaac. He had some really, really profound teachings, Paul, when you really look at it. That is not the children of the flesh or children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants, right? So it's not whether in, you know, I've looked up my genealogy. I believe I'm from the tribe of Dan, at least part of it. Means nothing. Doesn't mean anything. That's not going to get me, you know, that in a dollar will get me maybe a bus ticket, right? I'm getting no reward for that. I'm getting a reward because I've surrendered to Yahweh, I've joined the new covenant, and I've accepted the blood of Yeshua for the forgiveness of my sins, and I have his Ruach HaKodesh living in me. That's what makes us a new covenant believer, not because of our lineage. So fleshly lineage does not make you kadosh to Yahweh, but his spirit living in you, right? Being grafted in. And this is why it's so serious when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because you're blaspheming the biggest thing ever that's kadosh to Yahweh. And it's to the point where it's the only sin not being able to be forgiven. Mark 3 and 28 and 29. Mark 3 and 28 and 29, look what he says. Truly I say to you, all the sins will be forgiven to the sons of men in whatever blasphemes they have blasphemed. But whoever blasphemes against the Ruach HaKodesh has no forgiveness unto the age, but is liable to eternal judgment, right? And the Christians of the world, they don't understand this. They don't understand what that even means. But that's because that's the thing that opens up our mind to the truth. That is the thing that sets us apart. That is the thing that makes us a child of Yahweh. Right? Yeshua and Yahweh have the same exact mind, which is the Ruach HaKodesh. And that same spirit that's living in the Father and living in the Son is living in us. And if we don't keep that set apart to Yahweh, that's the sin that will not be forgiven. That's the sin you blaspheme. You turn back on that. You give up. You're done. That will not be forgiven, like it says here. And that's why it's so important that we have to keep. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. He says, but now the Messiah has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of those having fallen asleep. For since through man came death, also through a man is the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Messiah all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Messiah the first fruit, afterward those of Messiah's at his coming. Right? So we see here that we are first fruits set apart to Yahweh and called out. That's what makes us kadosh, right? His spirit. Like I said, we're 1 out of 5, 10 million people that set apart for him. Are we keeping our calling kadosh? Are we keeping our calling kadosh? Or are we making it common? Because if you make it common, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You're blaspheming his Ruach. Are we keeping our calling kadosh? Or are we making it common? Psalm 12 and 6 and 7. Psalm 12 and 6 and 7 says, the words of Yahweh are pure words like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Yahweh. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. So when we neglect the word of Yahweh, we're making it common, right? This is about the most kadosh thing you could ever find, his word. And that word is the thing that keeps us kadosh by putting it in our mind. And when we neglect the word and we're not praying and we're not studying, we're making it common. We're making it like anything else. We're not making it special. We're not making it set apart. Matthew 28 and verse 18. right? The Great Commission. And coming up, Yeshua talked with them, saying, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, and as my Father sent me, I send you." Then having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Amen. So here it is, right? Part of that calling he's given us is this. This is our Great Commission. This is the commission that's not given to every third or fourth person. It's given to maybe every 5 to 10 million, one person this is given to. And when we neglect it, we make it common. We make it like anything else, you know? We do this, we take out the garbage, we go to our work, you know, we run to the gym, and we do Yahweh's work. We're making it common. We're making it just like any other task. The work of Yahweh is set apart, and when you put your work first, you're making Yahweh's work common. You're making it common. Revelation 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones and them that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast nor his image, and had not received a mark on their forehead and in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and kadosh is the one having part in the first resurrection," right? That's set apart. That's the very, very minimal people that have ever lived. You know, maybe 1% of the people that ever lived or less will be in that resurrection. Most of them will be in the common resurrection, the second resurrection. And that's why I say, blessed and kadosh is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these. But they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah and will reign with him 1,000 years, right? That is our vocation, that is our calling, that is our destiny. And are you keeping it kadosh? Or is your calling becoming common? Is it like, no big deal. No big deal. You know, what is it? Are you keeping it? Are you keeping it common? Or keeping it kadosh? Or is it becoming common? John 2. John 2 and verse 18. John 2 and verse 18. He says, "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show us since you do these things?' Yeshua said to them, 'Tear down this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'This sanctuary was 46 years being built. Do you raise it up in 3 days?' But he spoke about the sanctuary of his body. Then when he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled that he said this to them, and they believed the scripture, even the word that Yeshua spoke." So here it is, right? Yahweh does not dwell in temples made by man, but he dwells in temples made by his Spirit. And we, collectively, we are the sanctuary of Yahweh. That's what he tells us. We are the sanctuary of Yahweh. We're called to be set apart priests in that sanctuary. And is your priesthood common? Is your priesthood common? Is it used by all? Is it just another thing? Or is your priesthood separated to Yahweh? 1 Corinthians 3, because look what happens if you defile his sanctuary. 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 9, says, "For we labor together with Elohim, and you are Elohim's work, and you are a building of Elohim." You are a building, right? We are that sanctuary. Drop down to verse 16. "Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Elohim, and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? And whoever defiles the sanctuary of Elohim, Elohim will destroy. For the sanctuary of Elohim is kadosh, which you are." So we're back to, are we going to be a partner with Yahweh or an enemy of Yahweh? It's one or the other. It's one or the other. What are we doing? Are you making the sanctuary of Yahweh common? So maybe up to this point you're thinking, what is he talking about? You know, I understand it, but what does he mean? Well, just like I've been saying, you know, what do you do every day of your life? What internet sites are you searching? What books are you reading? What videos are you watching? What job are you working? You know, is your life kadosh or is your life common? When you look at what you do, You know, I tell all the students, right, when you first come, put your daily planner out. Make a daily planner. I'll give everybody here, and everybody who's going to listen to this later, a little assignment here. Make a daily planner from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep, and I think you could figure out whether your life is kadosh or your life is common. If your life, if everything you're doing from morning to night is like what everybody else in the world does, your life is not kadosh. You are not setting yourself apart as a pillar in the sanctuary of Yahweh. You're not fulfilling your priesthood. You know? It's not an analogy. We will literally be kings and priests in that kingdom. And that's the point. If we don't prepare, look out. You won't be there. Yahweh cannot bring you in there and just shove you into a job that you're not ready to take. Because it's going to affect millions upon millions of people, not only when he returns for eternity. You know, are we taking that serious? You know, are we looking at this as life and death and, well, thanking him so much that I'm not those 10 million people out there not called, and you better believe I'll do anything. You know, I'll do anything, Father, because of what you're putting before me. Or is our life just common? Is it like everybody? And like I said before, the worst insult anyone could ever give you is, I didn't know you were a Christian. He doesn't know. I don't use that word. You're not winning. It doesn't matter whether he calls you a believer, disciple, Christian. He's saying, I didn't know you read the Bible. I didn't know that you believe in Elohim. That's what he's saying. There's not a worse insult somebody can give you to that. Because you know what they're saying? You're common. They don't see you any different than anybody else. So, you know, sometimes even when we're persecuted for being kadosh, that's a good thing. You know, you might lose your job because of the Sabbath. You know, or you might lose your job or be persecuted because we don't believe in a book, whatever it is, but that's a good thing because we're showing we're not like everybody else. We're kadosh. We're set apart to Yahweh. And if you are, of course you're going to be judged and you're going to be mocked and you're going to be persecuted because the world is common. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's even past common. At this point, the world is defiled. The world is unclean. And that's why up to now, like I said, if I was given this sermon in 1876 in Little House on the Prairie and the Ingalls family was sitting here, you know, it would be a totally different sermon. Because in that day, you'd have kadosh and you'd have common like I'm talking about. But today, it's really kadosh and unclean. And that's why there's never been a society except right now that Yahweh said, you must 100% come out of. And like I was saying yesterday, it's not even our choice. They're telling us, you're going to bow down to Satan and take that thing or you're out of here. You're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to buy and sell. And they want to get up there real strong, you know, like the man from Great Britain just did. You won't work if you don't have it. You know, I'll tell him what he could do with his job. You know, he could put it somewhere, which I won't say in the sermon. I don't want his job. I don't want his job because his job is not just common. His job is unclean, you know. So to the people of Yahweh, that kind of talk, is it going to affect us? I hope not. Because he's only doing us a favor. And like I say, I almost wish that COVID never stopped. Because if it never stopped, as a people right now, 3 years later, we would be much more farther along the line to the kingdom of Yahweh. Because it's human nature that we only do what we have to do. But when you only do what you have to do, as I'm going to read here in a second, consider yourself unprofitable. Luke 17. So is your life, think about it. Like I said, I want you to do it. I'm not going to tell you. Write down what you do from the morning you wake up to the time you go to bed, and you decide for yourself, you pray to Yahweh, and you see, is my life common or is my life kadosh? Luke 17 and verse 7. It's one of my favorite scriptures because this is one of the ones, ever since I was a young believer, this one really slaps me in the face. You know, because it really gets you when you think you're doing good to really give you an eye-opening to what reality is. And it's Yeshua who's saying it, which I love. It's not even one of the apostles. He says, but which of you having a servant plowing or tending a flock will immediately say to him coming in the field, come recline, right? So this is the New Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, this guy is my slave. He's doing everything. He comes in the house. Oh, please, I didn't eat yet, but you sit down and eat before I do. Is that what Yeshua said? No, it's not what he said. Look what he says. But will he not say prepare something that I eat, and having girded yourself, serve me until I eat and drink, and after these things you eat and drink. You're the servant, I'm the master. Let's get this straight, right? You're working all day, I appreciate it, but get my dinner. Then you'll get your dinner. And look what he says. What thanks does he receive, that servant, because he did the thing that was commanded? I don't think so. Likewise, even you. When you've done all the things that you're commanded, right? I'm tithing. I give my 10%. I even give my 2.4 hours, right? I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. Just like the man that came to Yeshua. What do I have to do to get eternal life? And what does he say? When you do everything you're commanded, you say we are idle servants because we only done what we ought to. So when we keep the commandments, even if we kept them perfect, we have nothing to brag about. We're only doing what's required. Can I go into the police station down here and say, you know, I want you to give me a reward and I want you to give me a badge because I didn't steal from this market here and I never, you know, broke the law here. And they're going to say, you're not getting any badge. But if you did that thing, you'd be in the cell over here. You'd be locked up. So there's nothing to be proud of when we're only doing what's required. Right? You know what's there to be proud of? When we go above and beyond that. You know? Like the man in the parable said to Yeshua, you know, I'll give half of everything. He didn't say I'll give back the 10% or even 20%. He said I'll give half and four times whoever I took from. So, you know, when we're looking at the Zacchaeus. So this is the point of it is, when we're only doing what's required, what are we all, you know, at least we're doing that, so it's a good thing. But you can't make it like you're doing something great. You're only doing what's required. So are you doing the work of Yahweh? Are you keeping your life sanctified from Satan's system of Babylon? Or are you coming like everybody else? Do you give Yahweh his tithe of time, 2.4 hours a day? And even if you do, you're only doing what's required, right? Now, if you're given 5 or 6 or 7, if you're dedicating yourself in crisis pregnancy centers and, you know, homeless missions, that's great. That's where he's saying, you know what? Your reward is going to be great in heaven. But if you're only given 2.4, you must give that. That's required. If you're not, you're stealing from Yahweh. If you're only doing what is required, right, there's nothing. Are you a priest? Is your whole vocation should be for our service toward Yahweh. So, and like I said, it's different than it was years ago. The book of Haggai 2, I read this the other day, I'll read it again, because we are in the most defiled system ever. So it's almost like now, it's not even comparing common to Kadosh, it's comparing Kadosh to unclean. Haggai 2 in verse 12 says, behold, one bears holy flesh, Kadosh flesh, in the wing of the garment, and touches his wing to the bread or boiled food or wine or oil or any food. Will it become holy? We know that, right? I have something that's Kadosh, and it touches something common. Does the Kadosh become, you know, the common thing become Kadosh? No. If I have my holy Kadosh anointing oil out, and I put it on the table, that table does not become Kadosh. But he says, if the unclean of body touches it, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, yes, it's unclean. When I was in the States, because I needed a vial for my anointing oil, we were in one of those Christian bookstores, and I bought a vial because I needed a vial there with the oil. And even though it was extra virgin olive oil, I took all the oil and poured it out because I didn't want Christian anointing oil to use on Yahweh's people. Because that, to me, was common. So I poured the oil out, I cleaned it. All I wanted was the vial. And I took good extra virgin olive oil and prayed over it and put it in. So that's the point of it, that when there is something that is defiled and it touches the Kadosh becomes defiled. So we want to make sure we are in our life, like I said, we are Kadosh. We are that instrument, right? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is in us. What are you watching? What are you doing? What are you speaking? Where are you going? Who are you associating with? Every single thing, like I said, from the minute you wake up 6:30 to 9, 10 o'clock at night or later, whenever you go to bed, look at that schedule and see, are you staying Kadosh? Or are you staying common? Or even worse, or are you becoming unclean? Are you becoming even unclean? So the whole system of commercial Babylon is corrupted and will be destroyed. So that's why we need to come out of that system. Hebrews 10 in verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 29. And it's human nature that, like I said, as we start, you know, it's amazing. A lot of times when people first come to faith, they really get this. Because they see their old life was nothing that was kadosh. And they really change. But as you become a believer and you kind of fall in that rut, you know, you get a routine, you're going and you know, you get involved in things, you tend to can get in a soft spot, you know, where you're too used to it, and all of a sudden your life starts to become more common than you would have liked it to be. So, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 28, he says, "For if he who transgressed the law of Moses died without mercies at the mouth of two or three witnesses, how much worse punishment do you think will be thought worthy to receive the one trampling the Son of Yahweh and having counted the blood of the covenant as common, which he sanctified, and having insulted the Spirit of grace?" So every time we go out and we do something that defiles us, whether it's sin or it's taking something that's kadosh and we're defiling it, right? What we're doing is, like he says here, he says we're taking the blood of the covenant and making it common. Wow. That's why when you bless him the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness. Because literally, you're putting Yeshua back on the tree of crucifixion. You know, you're turning back on your walk, and he's not going to go up there a second time. "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay,' says Yahweh." And again, Yahweh will judge his people. We don't want him to be our enemy. Because look out. Because when he comes, and his wrath is coming, like we said, he had enough. And at that point, it's going throughout all the earth. And we don't want it on us. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim." Wow, and that's an understatement. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. "Therefore, remember the former days in which after you received baptism, you had endured much tribulation," right? We're first called, we might not have had a lot of faith. But boy, we were into our commitment. And we were willing to do. We were willing to lose a job, do whatever it took, because Yahweh called us into his congregation. "We endured much tribulation. Indeed, being exposed both to trouble and reproach, you became an object of ridicule, and we didn't care. Our families mocked us. They called us all kinds of names. We didn't make a difference. And you have become companions of those men who have endured such things. For also you had pity on those in prison," right? "And you accepted the seizure of your possessions with joy, knowing yourself to have a better and abiding possession in heaven. Then do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward." You come this far. Don't go back. Don't go back. Everything we've given up. You know, I said that to my wife when, we had left America and we had a hard situation when we first left. And then we were wound up in Israel. And I've mentioned this before about this man we met, Elijah, who claimed to be the Elijah of the Bible. And we never thought that, but we did think he was a man of Elohim, you know, and he was teaching us a lot of things. And we had virtually no money, and he allowed us to stay in his apartment that he had there. And then we found out he's a false prophet. And I said to Preacher, "I don't care if we have to live at the beach. I don't care if we don't have food. We've come too far. We've given everything up. We're not going back at this point. What are we going to go back to?" And we never did. We never did. We had to keep going forward. And that's what he's saying here. You've endured all these things, you know. We're at that last step here. It's time to move forward, not to look back. "Then do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of Elohim, you may obtain the promise. For the time is very short, and he who is to come will come and will not delay. But the righteous will live by faith. Yet if he draws back, my soul is not pleased with him." This is the time to build faith. It's not the time to draw back. "But we do not belong to those drawing back, which leads to perdition, but to the faith which restores the soul." Here we are. And we don't have to do it alone. We have each other. We have Yahweh. We have his Spirit. You know? He's giving us everything we need to get through these last days. Many come to faith with zeal and ready to leave everything for the truth, but they never really build real faith, and they always keep one foot in the world and one foot out. And as time goes by, they become discouraged at what they perceive they've given up for the kingdom. They start thinking, well, they've given up a lot, and they've given up a job, and they've given up money. But the only thing that we've given up is a life of misery in the system of Satan. We haven't given up nothing. Yahweh's given to us, you know, eternal life for eternity right next to him as a child. As a king and a priest, as a child for eternity, that will never change. So there's nothing we've given up except misery in the system of Satan, the god of this world. But a lot of people, like I said, if they're not building faith, they become discouraged. They start looking back at the things of the world. They start thinking about the money, the jobs, and they become common. They become common again, part of the world like anybody else. Part of the world, and they quench the spirit, and they lose being kadosh. They lose being kadosh. If you're working in the ministry and bearing fruit, then you're never going to ever, you know, what you're building in heaven will never leave. In this system, it will. You know, you could have $10 million in an IRA and it could be gone overnight, you know. So anything you're building in this system will come to an end, but what you are building for the kingdom will never change. And that's why, like I said, here I'm preaching to the choir. Most of you people have come to the Bible school, you come to the feast, you have invested in your spiritual life, you know, but many, many thousands of brethren will hear this, you know, over the next week, and I encourage them to make that commitment, you know, stop being common, come out, be kadosh, do whatever you have to do to change your life, stop being lukewarm like a Laodicean. You know, many people in this day and age are doubting their calling. It's like every third day because they're common. Because they're part of the world and they're not seeing the Spirit of Yahweh. They're not seeing that power because they're not giving Yahweh opportunity to show them that power. And they're never moving on to perfection and purifying their calling and their relationship with Yahweh. Last scripture is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. He says, "For no one is able to lay any other foundation beside the one having been laid, who is Yeshua Messiah. And if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw," right? Worldly things, things that are common. "The work of each will be revealed, for the day will make it known, because it is revealed in fire," right? This is what we're going through now, the baptism of fire in the end time, the purification of fire, or the burning of fire. "And the fire will prove the work of each, what sort it is. So is it a purifying like gold and it's going to better us, or is it something that's going to destroy everything because there's nothing there of Yahweh? If the work of anyone which he builds survives, he will receive his reward. And the ones whose work will be burned will suffer loss, but he will be delivered as through fire." So this is where we're at. And like I ask again, is your calling become common? You know, we're living in a really tough world. The Bible says it's the worst time the world has ever known and will know. And have you become common? Are you're watching the same things everybody else watches, surfing the same websites everybody else is, doing the same thing everybody else is, you know. Are you common or are you kadosh? Everything kadosh will remain in the kingdom. Everything common will be burned. Time is short. I greatly encourage you, keep your life and your calling sanctified to Yahweh. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.